Well, good morning. It's great to be with you all. Those are beautiful songs, beautiful truths to sing to the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't they? Hopefully you were moved by the Holy Spirit as you sing those things as we rest in Christ. I'm not sure what you're wrestling with this week, but may your hope be found in Christ, the solid rock. Whom we stand, and so may you know his peace and joy. We're in the book of Philippians. We're getting closer to the end. If you have scriptures with you, we're in Philippians 4. We'll be paying attention particularly to verses 10 through 13, but we'll start reading in verse 4. Using a Pew Bible, it's page 982, if you want to use one of those around you. I'll be on vacation this coming week. You'll have the blessing to hear from Reverend Phil Amos Meyer. He's the associate pastor from Washington PCA. He was here a year and a half ago, maybe. He's excited to come. He's going to bring his family and hopefully attend Sunday school as well. I saw him at Presbytery yesterday, and he was just really thankful for the opportunity. He loved being with us the last time, so you have him to look forward to, and keep me in prayer as I'll be away. I'll still be in the area, but I'm hoping to be in God's creation, take Karina out and do a little bit of hunting, spend some time with Vanessa, and just enjoy each other. So keep that in mind. Today we'll be looking at verses mainly 10 through 13, thinking about contentment. Contentment is the topic for this morning, but we're going to begin in verse 4, what we dealt with last week, because it had to deal with anxiousness. Now, these texts go together, they go side by side, and if we practice the things that God calls us to about anxiousness that we talked about last week, it will also help us in this area of contentment as well. Let me pray, and we'll read through it this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for calling us to this day to rest, to cast our burdens onto Christ, to give you our anxieties, our worry, to find our contentment in the one who is the lover of our souls, our Creator, our Redeemer, our King, the one who knows us so well that he would say over 300 times in some form or fashion, "Don't be afraid. Do not fear." And so, Lord, we pray for our hearts this morning as we think about this issue of being content in Christ. Lord, there's many things that can cause us restlessness, that can stir up worry, doubt, confusion, and rob us of our peace and joy in you. And so, Lord, I pray for each soul here and watching online, Lord, that you know the weekly issues that we're all dealing with. Be it anything as simple as paying a bill, to relational issues, to things at work, to other matters that are coming our way. It could be health issues. But you know. And in your providence, we've landed on this text this morning to remind us to anchor ourselves in the Sovereign One who never changes, who's working all things together for good. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray you would speak to our hearts and our minds, that you would help us to understand these things, to apply these things, and to live these things, that we wouldn't just hear them and feed on them this morning, but they become tattooed on our hearts and our minds, that they would be reminders of who we are in Christ, and that we can take joy and peace and contentment in him, no matter the trial, no matter the trouble, no matter the tribulation. You are a solid rock, a very present help in trouble, and we give you praise for these things. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. To Philippians 4, we'll begin at verses 4, and pay particular attention to 10 through 13. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This ends the reading of God's word this morning. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to him, let him hear. Contentment. Contentment. The idea of being satisfied, at peace in our current circumstances. Can we possess such a thing called contentment, or being satisfied, or are we stuck with the reminder from the Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger, where he says, I try, and I try, and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. It's another idea of contentment, at being at peace, being satisfied in the midst of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. It seems like it's out of reach, doesn't it, contentment? In this world, it's always in flux or change. In an instant, our health status can change, our job situation can change, our financial situations can change, our relationships can change in an instant. And all these things can bring disruption and lead to anxiety and discontentment. And especially in America, where we live in this land of prosperity, where everything around you, and you watch the TV commercials, they will convince you you don't have everything yet. You can't be satisfied yet. You're missing out on this next great thing. If you don't have this thing, then you're really missing out. Contentment. What's interesting, I'm not sure who said it. It was either Elizabeth Elliot or Johnny Erickson Tata. Maybe both of them had said it, but it's a great phrase that captures the discontentment in our hearts. They said, we have what we don't want, and we want what we don't have. We have what we don't want, and we want what we don't have. Think about it, the various blessings that you possess now that at one time you thought you really, really had, but now they're sitting in a closet or in a corner of your room and just collecting dust. Something that you had to have at your birthday or at Christmas, or you saw it on sale and you just had to have it, thinking it would bring you a joy or contentment, and then in a matter of moments or hours, it's not quite what you thought you needed. It didn't deliver. It didn't bring satisfaction. And you're off looking for the next thing on the next commercial. We have what we don't want. And we want what we don't have. It's discontentment. And if we don't learn the secret of finding contentment, we'll wrestle with those desires from here till we meet Jesus. And so we're going to look at how do we learn contentment in an uncontented world, especially when we're in trials, troubles, and tribulations. So you see your first point there in your sermon notes, there in your bulletin. Paul discovered that we need to rejoice in the Lord's unexpected blessings while in our trials. I'll even add to that the everyday blessings that we're kind of blind to. He says in verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Paul here is encouraged. He found great joy in the Lord. He experienced an unexpected blessing through the Philippians. Remember Paul's circumstances. He's 800 miles away from them. He's been in prison not for 1 or 2 months. He's been in a prison for 2 years. He's been alone except for being tied to a Roman soldier, which I'm sure didn't make for the most hospitable company. His finances are low. His reputation is low. He's not been able to be out preaching like you would hope. And he's waiting to go to court. Be very easy to feel alone, to feel forgotten, to be discontented. But God in His grace has worked in the Philippians' hearts. They have revived their concern for Paul. They figured out where he was, that he was 800 miles away. He's over in Rome. They made a collection. They heard he needed some money to pay for his rent in this prison home. And they sent Epaphroditus to bless him with some company and give him this gift. He says, "I rejoice in the Lord for you." In moments of pain and uncertainty about the future and times of loneliness, it can seem like we're forgotten. But God and His blessings will show up at the right time. Somehow, in some way, at the right time, He'll show up and remind us that we're not alone. That we can calm our hearts, we can have peace in our hearts and trust His care and sovereignty. His unexpected blessings can show up as a phone call. It can show up as a text, a visit that was unexpected. And I think a lot of times we're blind to the blessings that are just right around us. It could be as simple as watching a sunrise or a sunset, be in awe of the power and the graciousness of Christ that He would give us such things to observe and just to take in. Sometimes we miss the bird that's fluttering around in the pond and just be amazed that the God who cares for that bird cares for us even more. We kind of miss the blessings that are right in front of us, and we become discontented. It reminds me of the commercial I shared with you before. I think it was about a year or 2 years ago, where this commercial on TV where the guy wakes up and there's somebody wrapped all up in Christmas wrapping. And the person comes out of the wrapping and it's his spouse. And he's so excited. He says, "Thanks, I have a spouse. I have someone here with me to enjoy life with." And then he goes around the corner and there's this wrapping paper on the light switch. And he opens it and he's got lights. And he's so excited, he's enthralled. He's like, "Look at this. Lights coming on and off." And the same with the water. There's wrapping paper around the faucet on the sink. "Look at this. I can just turn the switch and we have water." And it's that idea that we have so many blessings around us and we think that we're missing something. Our hearts become restless and discontented because we're forgetting the blessings that are right in our midst, and we're robbed of joy and peace. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6, He says, don't be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Remember, He says, look at the birds. Look at the birds. They're not storing up. They're not sitting there worried about their savings and things like that. They're just doing what God has called them to do for the day. And God says, aren't you more valuable than they? And He says, look at the lilies, look at the flowers, look at the leaves that are turning colors in the fall. It's amazing, it's beautiful, isn't it? And today they'll be here and the leaves will be gone and the flowers will be gone. And He says, aren't you more valuable than they? Won't your Heavenly Father clothe you? We get anxious about a lot of things, especially in America where we have so much blessing. But Jesus says, seek God, seek the kingdom of God, seek His righteousness first. And everything else will take care of itself. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow has its enough trouble. So when you're feeling discontented, when you're feeling frustrated, when you're feeling worried, ask the Lord to give you eyes to see the blessings around you. That you would have the eyes of your hearts enlightened to know the hope to which you've been called in Christ Jesus. That you would understand the glorious riches that are yours in Christ Jesus. Things none of us deserve but we possess. A forgiveness, a living hope, an eternity, knowing that all things work together for good, that we have these in Christ. And also seek for those unexpected blessings. Might be just a kind word from somebody, a song on a radio, or something you read in his text, and we're missing out on the simple yet extraordinary ways that God's providence moves to remind us that we're not alone. And maybe seek to be that blessing. Maybe seek to be that unexpected blessing like the Philippians were. Maybe there's somebody that's not been here for a while. Maybe there's somebody that's hurting or suffering, and a card, a phone call. Just let them say, I love you, praying for you. To let them know. Give them encouragement as well. So we can rejoice in the Lord's unexpected blessings and ask Him to give us eyes to see the blessings that we already have as we wrestle with discontentment. And our second point is we need to trust our unchanging Lord in an ever-changing world. In verse 11, he says, not that I'm speaking of need. I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul has learned the secret of contentment, this idea of peaceful acceptance of where God is placed him. And this word in the Greek can actually mean self-sufficient, but this is not at all what Paul is talking about. We're not self-sufficient. But it's the idea that in Christ I contain all things that I need. Steve Lawson writes, Paul is not saying that he's abundantly sufficient in himself, but he's sufficient in the resources of God. Nothing needs to be imported from outside of life. There's nothing lacking from ample supply that Christ would have for him. Paul has everything he needs in the fullness of his Savior and Lord. No matter what the situation, Paul has learned to be content because he belongs to the self-sufficient Christ who works all things together for good for his people. Paul says he knows what it's like to have plenty and abundance. But he realized that won't give him contentment, right? It's not those things that will satisfy. He knows what it's like to be poor. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to have his belly be growling. But he says that won't rob me of my discontentment in Christ. He has truly learned to trust the God who made him, the God who would send his son to save him, this God who is ruling all events for his good, for God's glory, and for Christ's purposes. And Paul has risen above the circumstances and situations in his life as he rests in the self-sufficiency of Christ, who gives all. Remember, for Paul, it's to live Christ, to die gain. Tony Evans, he gets real practical. He says, contentment is being just as happy driving the Mercedes as you would be driving the old jalopy from college. In both cases, you have a ride. Contentment is taking as much pleasure in the big $300,000 house as you would as in the two-bedroom apartment. In both cases, you have a roof over your head. Contentment is appreciation the T-bone steak as much as you would the hot dog. In both instances, you're not starving. Contentment is not just being satisfied with designer outfit, but being just as satisfied with the clothing from the thrift store. In both cases, you have clothing. Contentment is realizing God meets your needs. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6, he says, "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. We brought nothing into this world. We cannot take anything out of it. But if we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content." Now don't confuse contentment with being unmotivated. It's not being complacent. It's not being lazy. It's not being indifferent or uninterested. Remember just earlier, Paul says, "I'm straining forward for the prize. I'm doing everything I can to reach forward, to know Christ more, to grow in his ways of love, to know Christ in his sufferings and the power of his resurrection." Listen, it's good to grow. It's good to pursue godly adventures, to discover things in this world, to invent, to explore, to invest, to build in those things. But we cannot put our contentment in the pursuits, because the pursuits come to an end for various reasons. Talk to most football players who win the Super Bowl. There's a great excitement. They got the great achievement, and it's a great thing, a great reward, but in a matter of days, it's a trophy of metal. And the pursuit's over. And there's a discontentment. We cannot put lasting contentment in worldly luxuries. The fancy car, the fancy house, those things will rust and moth will eat up, they'll fall away. We can't put our lasting contentment in even in people. We love upon people, we build relationships with people, but they can't be our saviors. These things that we enjoy, they're all good gifts from God, from Christ, and we're meant to enjoy them, but never to be content in them, but content in the giver who gives them to us. Which is better? This is going to be hard for some of us. Which is better, the gift or the giver? Kids, which is better at Christmas time? Birthdays, the gifts or the person who gave them to you? Which is better, the gift or the spouse or the friend who gave you the gift? Which is better? Sadly, we get our eyes just fixated on the gifts, and we ignore the person right there who blessed us with the gifts. We are to find contentment in the ultimate giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the birds, who gives us the leaves, who gives us these things to discover, to enjoy, to build, and to develop as his people made in the image of Christ. But we can't find our contentment in the things. It must be in Christ who gives us those things. Stephen Aldridge, he writes, "When we won't be fully satisfied when we get what we want here on earth because God loves us. We won't be fully satisfied with the things on earth because God loves us and he wants us to find satisfaction or contentment in him. He won't allow us to be satisfied in here." That's why we're always wrestling with discontentment until we find our rest in him. That's what Augustine said. He says, "God, thou hast made us for yourself. And, O Lord, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." That's why Paul said earlier in Philippians 3, he had reputation, he had wealth, he was known among everybody, the Pharisee of the Pharisee, right? The greatest of all the religious people at that time. He says, "Those are worldly things. I count those as rubbish just so I can gain Christ." It's Christ and his accomplishments, his work, his salvation for you, his death for you, his resurrection for you. It's being in awe of this one who made us, and we ruined it and fell in sin, and yet he would come to take our place and to rescue us. Paul says, "I want to know him. I want to be in awe of him. I want to grow in him." There's contentment. There's satisfaction, not in the gifts of the world. So if your heart's been restless or discontented? Ask yourself, are you chasing things of the world? Are you trying to find contentment in things that won't last? Paul says, I've learned the secret. I've learned the secret. And it's found in our unchanging God who loves us. It's found in the unchanging God who would send Christ for us. It's found in this God who offers us forgiveness, atonement, hope, an eternal family, a new life. He loves us so much to rescue us from our sin and discontentedness, to give us the greatest treasure, Himself. Himself. He says, I've learned that secret. So if you're wrestling with those things, get quiet with the Lord sometime today and just rest in this God. God is most glorified in us, as Piper says, when we're most satisfied in Him. Where you just boast and glory and revel in this God who made you and gives you forgiveness and redemption. So we trust our unchanging Lord in an unchanging world. And lastly, point three, just trust the Lord's supply of grace for each day. In this world of discontentment where things are always in change and flux, trust in His grace for each day. He says in verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The secret to finding contentment is Christ. It's being fully content, fully satisfied in the eternal, unchanging God who loves you, and realizing you can do all things, you can get through the current situation today through the power of Christ. Think about it. Who's holding you right now? Who was holding you yesterday? Who's causing your lungs to breathe and you don't even think about it? Who's causing your heart to beat blood through your body and you don't even have to think about it? It's the power of Christ. He holds us. He sustains us. I can do all things through Him. I can get through this moment. I can get through this trial, this tribulation, this trouble. Because my God is unchanging and He's good and He's with me and He's near. He'll give me power for today. Lawson writes, remember that all joy for your soul and power for your life are found in Christ. Get as close to Him as you can. You can live, he continues to write, your Christian life knowing that the power of God is far greater. The power of Christ is far greater than whatever difficulty that you're facing. There's no trial too difficult, no obstacle too high, no temptation too strong, no opposition too powerful, no persecution too threatening. If you put your faith and trust in God and follow Him in obedience, there will be joy and to be contentment in Him. Paul says, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can sit in this prison for 2 years through the power of Christ. I can face trial, no matter if it means me being headed through the power of Christ, because I know it's gain. I can get through the day. We need to trust the Lord's supply of grace for today. Sometimes we get discontented and worry about what's coming tomorrow, what's coming at the end of the week, what's coming down the road, right? We must remind ourselves, as we plan, as we think, we rest in His grace, in His power, right now. Right now, He's with us. He will give us grace for the day, power for the day, contentment for the day. As Jeremiah reminds us in Lamentations 3:21, this I call to mind, this I call to mind and remember, and I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. These are great words to circle and underline, right? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every time you wake up. They are new every morning. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I'll hope in Him. I'll hope in Him. You know, we have our cell phones, and mine's an older one, and it needs charged 3 or 4 times a day. So do we in our spiritual walk. We need to recharge our minds with these promises, with these truths, and practice these things to remember that we can draw from the power of Christ for the moment of crisis and struggle, knowing that He has an unending reservoir of power, grace, and mercies. And each morning I wake up when I don't know how I'm going to get through the day, His mercies are new again. His love never ceases. So when you think you can't make it through the day, cry out for His power and strength. When you feel hopeless, cry out for His power and strength. When you feel alone, cry out for His power and strength. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He might not take away the struggle or the trial. Paul knew this well. He was wrestling with the thorn in the flesh, and he asked 3 times, Lord, please take it away. Please take it away. Please take it away. And Jesus says to him, my grace is sufficient. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul says, okay. Therefore, I will boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen to what he says. For the sake of Christ, for the glory of Christ, for the cause of Christ, so that His power be glorified in me, he says, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for when I am weak, I am strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Contentment is found in resting on Him, His goodness, His sovereignty, His love, His mercies in every circumstance. If you're wrestling with contentment, ask, what are you fixing on? What are you chasing that you think will satisfy? And fix your eyes on Christ. Perhaps you've been chasing riches. Perhaps you've been chasing popularity or just wanting to fit in with the culture. And the song we're going to sing shortly is, what would you rather have? Jesus or this world? Fix your eyes on Christ. Rejoice in the Lord's unexpected blessings in the moments of trials. Ask Him to open your eyes to see the blessings that are right before you, that just God popped this in my head. If you love Winnie the Pooh, there's a movie called Christopher Robbins. And it's when Christopher Robbins has grown up and so busy and discontented with being an adult, and Winnie the Pooh shows up. And they're walking along, and they're riding on a train, and he says, look at the tree, Christopher. I can't look at that, I'm too busy. Oh, look, there's a creek. Look at how it waters. I'm too busy to look at the creek. It's such a great reminder that we're so chasing stuff, we're missing right in front of our face that God has blessed us with. Rejoice in the Lord's unexpected blessing. Rejoice in the blessings you possess now in Christ. Trust in the Lord's unchanging love. Trust in this God who never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This world will always be in change and in flux, but not Him. And trust His supply of strength for today. For today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, make these real to us. Overwhelm us with your goodness and your grace. Help us to know you in our sufferings. Help us to know you in the power of your resurrection each day, each struggle, each trial. Give us hearts of contentment while we pursue to give glory to you, as we seek to be image bearers of you to this world. You're transformed. Help us not to be contented in the pursuits, but contented in the Christ, who's the greatest. Lord Jesus, to you be glory. To you be glory. Thank you for your love and your mercies. Apply these truths to each of our hearts, now and forever, we pray. Amen.